Greetings, everyone. So good to see everyone. Glad you are here tonight. Open your Bibles now to Titus chapter 2. We're moving along. We do have our outlines in the chair if you want our outlines for tonight, so you can take notes and follow along. I encourage you to do that because weak as ink is stronger than the strongest memory. So I want to encourage you with that. We are moving to a new section of the book. not quite the downer, so to speak, when you're talking about false teachers and the bad guys all the time. Certainly in this chapter, we are moving toward the section that Paul is addressing Titus with a pastoral heart and concern for the body of Christ in all of the various local churches that he would to establish elders and build up what was lacking. Though our method tonight, usually people zip through verses 1 through 10 in one message. I didn't want to just and then say amen at the end. I wanted to, I like to unpack things. I like to find out what he's really saying here to get as much as we can while we are here. So, though we're doing just the first two verses, let's read the first 10. Follow along as I read. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Let's pray. Father, please be with us tonight. As we move to how we are to act in all the various groups within the body of Christ, within a local church, too often churches are being built on programs and busyness instead of growth in character and growth in the faith and growth in edification to be a strong people in Christ, to develop a robust theology and live a life pleasing to you in the likeness of your Son. So, Father, as we see tonight, again, the exhortation one more time to Titus of his duty, his call, his responsibility, and then the first of the group of the older men, men who have responsibilities as leaders and pillars, and that they need to lead by example, not by talk. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be attentive, help us to learn all that we can and should from this passage and the following passages that we work through each of the groups. That, Lord, may we please and honor you in all things. In Christ's name, amen. By way of introduction, we have learned so far that Titus had been warned in the previous chapter to resist false teachers and their doctrine, and to maintain helpful teaching of the gospel. As we move to Titus chapter 2, our attention turned toward pastoral care to the members of the body of Christ. Here Paul is addressing, ministering to the many groups within the church, older men and women, younger men and women, slaves, all the varied elements, because each part is supposed to be, no matter what element of age or gender, they all have to be grown in grace and grown in the knowledge of Christ, and we all need to be holding each other to that very standard. After he does the groups, he then begins to stress the priority of sanctification in the Christian life. He explained the whole purpose and goal that God has in the theme of redeeming sinners. This is on the tail end of this chapter. All the while we are grown in grace, we are to keep our eyes on our blessed hope in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is where we're heading. We're now in a different section. Right from the beginning, we learn he was sent to Crete, the island of Crete, and he needs to pick up and fix and repair what's lacking, establish elders and leaders in the churches, and address the false teachers. We went to great length on that. So let's pick up point number one, verse one. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. This is really revealing here because, first of all, let's pick up the first part phrase, but as for you. The word you in the Greek is very emphatic. It's like Paul is reaching out and pointing his finger to Titus. Now, as for you, this is what I want you to do. Don't be like the ones we were just talking about, who then think they ought not to, who were subverting home, family, the body of Christ. But as for you, in contrast to those in Titus 1, who were using their teaching for unlawful gain, shameful gain, who subverted others with their teaching. Here Titus is being reminded, as well as other church leaders, this is not a thing just for Titus. I don't have to worry about it. No, this is for anybody who is an elder and a leader of a church. This was instructed to Titus, who will then pass it on to the elders he established in the churches in the island of Crete, as well as the church continued to grow. This is our marching orders. And so Titus is being reminded of his duty to instruct the members in moral Christian conduct. One of the things that is amazing when you look at that, you don't see what so many legalistic churches stresses on, all of the externals. Make sure you look this way and dress this way. Make sure your hair looks like this and your hair is not like this and this, that, and the other. By all means, make sure your kids are dressed a certain way. All the externals. You don't find that here. You find things about transformation of the heart, godliness and character. So we see here the first thing he said, but as for you, speak the thing. I'll just stop there for a moment. Speak. That word means to communicate and to declare. To teach. What are you to do? Things that are proper for sound doctrine. You don't get to preach what you want. You don't get to preach the latest God in the movie sermon, God in the title of the latest newspaper article sermon, or take a bird, springboard, never come back to the text and say whatever you want about it. But to stick with the text and use it and teach it in such a way that brings about fruitful living. that accord with godliness, that accord with the holiness of life. We see that from the very first verse of the very first chapter here. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the foreknowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. That's what he's saying here. He must teach sound doctrine. And I've already done the word studies with you. It is all throughout the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Sound doctrine means healthy, wholesome doctrine. The kind of teaching that produces good, wholesome living in accordance with Jesus Christ, in accordance with the gospel, in accordance with God's goal of each and every one of us, that the child of God manifest the likeness of his son. So he must teach sound doctrine. One commentator said that he should so teach sound doctrine as actively and as passionately as the false teacher did their error. Commentator by the name of Hybert said that the gospel, listen carefully, the gospel as the vehicle of Christ's healing power over the soul of everyone that believes, it's not only healthful in its nature, but bears healthfully on the conduct of all men. It's not only good for the preaching of his people, but lost people who come in and they hear the gospel message, it will have a healing, healthful effect on them, even if they're in an unbelieving state, because they're going to hear the standard. They're going to hear God's word. They're going to hear the hope that's only found in Jesus Christ and what God expects his creatures to live like. What is interesting, when you look at this phrase, speak the things that are for sound doctrine, the word speak in the Greek is in what it's called a present imperative. That means that you are commanded to do this and to do this continually. In other words, I want you to continually speak and continually speak sound doctrine. Don't get tired of opening the book and preaching the word. Stick with the text. Let the text transform you and transform the people. That is what he's saying here. Everything in this passage and elsewhere he is to teach are practical Christian virtues which are consistent with the gospel and with holiness of life. We see this later in chapter 3 of Titus in verse 8. And this is the faithful saying, these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Here, he said, I want you to stay the course. Affirm constantly. Constantly affirm what the word said. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it said this. But fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. I brought that verse out only to bring out there are teaching that is contrary to sound doctrine. And it bears those kind of fruit. Now, I didn't give you the whole list. I just gave you one verse. But if you live, even partially or consistently or habitually, any one of those elements, that is not healthy doctrine that you have embraced thinking. It may be things you're reading, maybe things you're listening to in the podcast throughout the week, or so many churches. The point is, there is teaching that's contrary to sound doctrine, and there is teaching that is according to sound doctrine. Later on in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, it says that if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. In other words, one of the marks is that it will accord and produce the fruitfulness of godliness in the life of the hearers if they hear it and embrace it, hear it and apply it. Doesn't it do any good if you hear it and do nothing with it? You don't apply it. The real test is when you hear and you apply everything you're hearing, what does it do to your life? If it's transforming you and it's bearing the mark of according with godliness, that's a good thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, it said that hold fast, hang on fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to the pattern of sound word. There is a pattern to sound word. And so right from the very beginning, as we open up chapter 2, he gives the exhortation, speak sound doctrine. Every elder, leader, anybody behind a teaching pulpit, anybody teaching anywhere. Parents, you need to model the same thing. Teach sound teaching in your home. Not what you want, to make them into little puppets and cookie cutter so they look good on the outside. No, it is shepherding the heart, seeking to transform them and renew them through the truth being applied to their heart, mind, and soul as you prayerfully ask God to apply it to their heart as you teach them. The same is true in Sunday school classes. The same is true anytime somebody stands up here and teach. May they do that. Now we move to the first group. I broke up verse 2 into two sections so I can have a three-point outline. Actually, there is a logical reason for this. First off is in point number 2, men live exemplary lives. If you look at Titus 2, first part of verse 2, that older men be sober, reverent, temperate. Okay? The older men here mean exactly what it said. These are the aged one, the gray-headed one, the ones, or, well, I won't go there. These are instruction. And throughout this section, and we read the group, these are grouped according to age and gender, okay, of the members, okay? Means everybody's involved. Everybody's involved, and everybody needs to be held accountable. Parents, you need to understand how your children need to be acting by the time they leave your home, young men and young women. It's all right here. How do I work with my children? Here's the start. There's many others, but here's a good start. Because this is what God expects the pastor to be doing to your family as he's preaching and teaching and ministering and discipling. But here we're talking about men. It's your turn tonight, men. Men. Older men. Here we are first and foremost are to be sober. The word means to abstain from wine or alcohol, okay? But it means more than that. It means more than that. I do not believe he is simply saying, man, make sure they don't get old and drunk. It's more than that. One commentator said it this way, they are to be sober and fully rational, in possession of the full use of all their faculties in thought, word, action. So it's more than just that. In other words, don't get so drugged up, drinked up, that you lose your sensibilities and faculties. That's not only true of men, it's true of anybody. But specifically men who are supposed to be leaders. The idea is to be sober and vigilant in judgment and discernment. We see it throughout the epistles in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be diligent and be sober. Our Lord said it this way in Matthew 26:41 in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The word watch is to be diligent, to be alert, to be attentive. The enemy is approaching. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Older men in the faith should know their theology well enough to know your number one enemy in battle is indwelling sin. Not them, it is within. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in prayer. This is that idea of being vigilant, watchful. Be alert. Do not do anything, take anything, partake of anything that would dull that ability to think the words you need to say and articulate in your action. Now, some people don't need alcohol to do that. They just have problems with it anyway. The real issue is to have your faculties in line with the wisdom of this book. Here's the clearer one, the most obvious one of them all. 1 Peter 5:8, many of you know it. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walked about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Be alert. He's out. He's looking for you. He's waiting for you to get out from under authority where you're exposed, and he pounces on you. Catches you at a weak moment. Catches you and makes you trip and fall to temptation, sin. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, couldn't you even watch with me for an hour and pray? Watch and pray, let you enter into temptation, he said. So we see here, the first thing was to be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be watchful. Good way to summarize it is Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Second one is, be reverent. Now that doesn't merely mean being reverent toward others. You need to have and carry yourself in such a way that you are revered and respected. The word also been translated to be dignified. We're talking about dignified in your character, not your clothing. A lot of people like to dress up to impress. No. People who are truly dignified people, they're humble people. They're not proud people. So we have here reverent, dignified, respectful. They're honorable. They have a consistent character. They're faithful. They're true. They're loyal. This was very interesting. Turn with me to Philippians 4. We all know that verse, but I wanted to turn there. Philippians chapter 4. I don't know if it'll hit you like it hit me, but it hit me really good because I never knew this. And I got a tip as a result of reading something, and it gave me a hint to look in the Greek for this word. Just out of nowhere, just a little hint. I go, what is he saying? Do I go to Philippians 4:8? We all know it. Let me read it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We seem to understand a lot, but there's one word that a lot of people kind of stumble, look over, and really can't define real well until I hopefully share with you tonight. And that is the word noble. What in the world did the word noble mean? It is exactly the same Greek word as the word reverent here. If you know and see reverent, honorable, dignified, respectful life and action, meditate on these things. These are actions that is respectable. That's good. That's humility and action. So even God is saying not only to us men that we are to be reverent, respectful, honorable, but it should be as such that we should be examples where others can reflect, think, and meditate upon them for their own edification and use. Here in the list is eight virtues that we're supposed to spend time meditating on. Paul is in prison. He's in prison unjustly. He is in prison, and yet this book is the book of joy, Philippians. And yet in the midst of this, verse 6 said, be anxious for nothing. Don't get worried and fretting and fearful. Worry is a sin. Anxiousness is a sin. Everybody does it, but everybody sins too. Because worry is saying, I don't trust him. You won't say that, but that's what worry says. Because if you have faith, there's no worry. It captures out that fear. So here we are called to meditate on these things in the context of injustice and anxiety and anxious circumstances, but not becoming anxious. Why? What are you supposed to do? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why? That the peace of God may rule or guard your heart. And while that's happening, discipline your mind to stay on this track. Eight virtues to focus on. There's plenty to see out here. There's plenty out there to see. You see clearly the lit, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Why do we waste our time with things that caused bad fruit in our thinking, creates anxiousness, fearfulness, worrisome? Discipline your mind. You are responsible for where your mind goes. God is telling you, I already told you this morning from 2 Corinthians 10:5, that you're supposed to bring every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. No matter where it's gone, you're bringing it to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's how we do it right there, Philippians 4:8. Discipline our mind. That was a good word. I'm saying all that to say this, men. Superficiality in older men is unbecoming and improper. As you get old, you don't get sillier and goofier. You get respectful and honorable. Especially those of us and those who have matured in the Christian life. You don't go down, you help people to come up to the level of maturity and dignity and respect. That's what's supposed to happen. They listen to you when you command respect because you have a consistent character of being faithful and true. That's our job, to be consistent day in and day out. To have develop and display that character in our work, in our homes, in our relationship with our neighbors, confrontation, whatever the case may be. There's another one. Be temperate, meaning sound-minded. Have self-control of oneself, curbing of one's desires and impulses. They have sound and balanced judgment and discernment. Self-control, which is the mark of the fruit of the Spirit. throughout, we see the importance of the virtue of self-control. But we know what self-control in the Christian context means. It means letting the Holy Spirit help us to restrain from things that we normally, if we were left to ourselves, would yield to. And that's not only to moral sin, adultery, stealing, lying, cheating, drunkenness. It's also talking about sinful emotion, attitude, bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, covetousness. Things that we seem to sometimes in churches tolerate. God doesn't tolerate them. And yet, you might look good, but it's inside, man. It's not about looking good. It's about being good. And that only happens when God transforms us through the Spirit, through the Word. Bring it to point number three, which is the second half of the verse. So let's read it. The older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. So supposed to be sound in all three of those things. So very easily it could be sound in the faith, sound in love, sound in patience. Again, the word sound is the same, to be solid and helpful and good. So the idea of being sound in the faith is, men, we are supposed to be progressing well enough to be sound in the Christian faith and theology. Your understanding of the book and the faith and our doctrines and teaching that the church had given us through the ages should be ever growing. So you become sound in it, healthy. You can pass it on. You can disciple somebody from infancy to maturity. If you can't, you're failing here. It is important to understand that we must progress and persevere and press on. I would like all of us to turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Because it's a very important passage here. Those of you who know Hebrews 5 know where I'm going. Beside Hebrews 5. For those taking notes, chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Listen to these words. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You can't handle solid stuff from the book. It's over your head. You can't connect the dot. It doesn't make sense. It is. So rather than sticking to it to learn it, you step back only to be taught again and again. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why? Because he is a babe. That's not me saying it, that's God saying it. I'm just reading it. I might be emphasizing things because we have a tendency to overlook certain things. 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And that's not chronological. We're talking about maturity, spiritually speaking. That is those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So men, this is to you tonight. That's what it said, that we're to be sound in the faith. There is a time when you need to grow and mature enough to become a teacher and to teach. You give an assignment, teach it. Be faithful, be true, as the church had taught it through the ages, not in giving novel spins and your take on it. No. What does it say? Give them the healthy stuff. Every one of us are called to do that. Even when we get to 2 Timothy, Paul even gives us a model of how you're supposed to disciple. Paul teaching Timothy, who taught faithful men who taught others also. You got four generations being raised there. Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and they taught others. Constantly teaching and passing. We're not talking teaching in an official sense, but passing and imparting our precious holy faith in its theology and how we live. You, as a Christian man, cannot be sound in the faith and still need milk. Be unskilled in the word, immature, keying off of the phrase, a babe, who lack discernment. Well, I don't like. It's not about what you like. This is what God wants us to be doing. This is what we do. This is how the church is to run and work and operate and cater and develop a robust teaching ministry to foster growth in these areas. That's why it's called the ground and pillar of the truth, not the entertainment center. So, beloved, men, every one of us know we got our theology can be strengthened, can be better tomorrow than it is today. We haven't arrived in our theology. We have holes in it, and I'll be honest with you. There, I heard this said once before, and I'll claim the same thing. No originality here. I heard a Q&A one time of a well-known speaker who had before thousands of people. Some people asked him the question, one of the things that they asked him a question, there was something he totally forgot. And he said, you know, I read on that 15 years ago. I just honestly can't remember it. Fair enough, right? Have you ever forgotten anything? Of course we all forget. But he went on to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I have holes in my theology. If I knew where it was at, I would fix it. We all have holes. Let's find them and let's fix them wherever they may be. That's why we need each other. To help each other. Men, we are the leaders of this. We're supposed to be those sound in the faith. Next, sound in love. Sound in love. Here we can expand over and over. I can launch into oh my goodness, you already know, not once, but twice in my 26 years here, I have taught 1 Corinthians 13. And I spent one message on each of the 15 elements of love. Not counting the first three verses. If I had, I'm nothing. Da, 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 da. The list started in verse 4. But I think we can summarize it all in here. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Men, we need to be sound in our love for others. Love other men, other members. Love people. Constantly be models of love. That we model it and are exemplary in this. I shorten that to spend more time on the next one. To be sound in patience. You would think as we get older we would become more patient. That doesn't seem to be the case. There's a lot of reasons for that. But it said to be sound in faith. Excuse me, in patience. I found a verse that I thought was helpful here, and that is Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, here's the reason why I picked that verse. Because basically, we live the Christian life by faith. We haven't seen Jesus, but by faith, we know he is real. And all that he did comes from this book. We live by faith. That's why the world mocked it. Man, you got no proof. This is proof enough for us. And the Holy Spirit helped us to embrace the trustworthiness of this book. Though when we hope for things that we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, patience. This means we're living our lives by faith in God's word and not by sight. The world lives by sight. I only believe what I can see. Well, you're already doomed. And that's not true. That's hypocritical. Because they do a lot of things, embrace a lot of things, use a lot of things. They don't bloody understand. Nobody understands electricity, but you use it every day. Flip switches off and on, use it for all kinds of things. We have learned to harness it, but you don't understand it. You don't know what's behind the wall other than that. If you break it and poke your finger in there, you're going to get a zap. You don't really fully understand how refrigeration works. You're just glad it's cold. Beloved, men, it's to you tonight. We're traveling through a cursed world. A world full of sinners and rebellion to God, and they take it out on His children. Men, we are to lead by example in areas of patience, long-suffering, endurance, perseverance, strength, resolve, steadfastness, always waiting and resting in the Lord. That's our calling. I don't understand everything He's doing, but I know He's true and He's faithful. I know I can count on Him. I know I can wait and rest on Him. That's where I'm staying. He is my refuge, my rock. He's our refuge. He's our rock. Men, everybody in the church needs to see us at that standard. Man, I don't know how they endure it. Well, I tell you how we do it. By His grace, He strengthens us every day. That's why in Romans 15, verse 4, it says this, whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Talking about the Old Testament, was written for our learning that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So there's our recipe. The only way we're going to persevere with patience and comfort and hope because of this book. Galatians 6:9, here's a good one. Let it not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Beloved, don't worry about November. Do your vote, pray, carry on. We got work to do. We got growth to make, gaining. We got to be patient, endure whatever God ordained for us to endure. But we do it knowing that we can trust Him. Men, we are to endure the trials and tribulations of life without losing heart or courage. This is the Christian life, the Christian faith. Our journey as pilgrims passing through this world for our future, toward our future home. And this is especially true, man, as we get older. When we experience increased infirmities, how's that word? There's a joke I have among other people. That you can tell if we ate a lot of Rice Krispies when we were young, because when you get older, we snap, crackle, and pop. We hurt, painful, you wake up, it's a struggle, but you press on. But you don't give in to what the world does just to endure the old age. We got so much to live for. We live by His grace, by His strength, by our faith. Faith. Our theology, faith, taking Him at His word. So this is especially true as we get older, because we experience increased infirmity We had a lot of shattered dreams. Our goals were failed, depressing. And as you get older, it gets lonely. It's amazing, though you have people around you, it's kind of unnerving when I read weekly classmates and teammates who are dying. And I grew up in this valley, and I know a lot of them. I just lost a really good teammate a couple weeks ago. Make you realize that our days are numbered. Give it all for him. But it also makes you, there's less and less friends to talk to and visit and share the gospel with, or those who are in Christ to share and fellowship with. James chapter 5 said it this way in verses 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also must be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That was true of James, it's true of today. We will press on like a farmer waits for the fruit of the land. They seeded it, they did what they could, they fertilized it, God rained it, or they put water on it through their sprinkling system. They wait for it to grow to the time of the year called harvest time. Patient, patient, patient. That would you to teach us patience. Men, we do not want to become people who are impatient as we get older. That would cause stumbling in anybody else. If anything, our old age should be making us stronger in him. That's why in Romans 15:13, resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Herbert summarized these last three, sound in faith, love, and patience. They are recognized essentials of Christian character. They are to be strong and robust in their personal faith, tender and mellow, rather than bitter and vindictive in their love, and characterized by patience. Let that be us, men, but we only can do it by his grace. Let the preaching of his word do its work in our hearts. May we listen to it and heed and respond to it so we can manifest these things and be an example to others. In closing, I would like you to go to one more passage. Turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Many years ago, I came across this passage, and it was extremely helpful for me. It helped me to stay the course what I, in my daily Christian walk, need to do. For those taking notes, it's 2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 8. I want you to notice the progression here. It doesn't isolate men. This is for all of us. But it teaches us a very important truth about progressive sanctification, growing in grace, growing in these areas. These areas need to be distinctively growing in us. Beginning in verse 4. Now notice this. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Stop. Don't look. No cheating. Just said an important thing here. God gave us promises. Oh, no. Great promise. No. Great and precious promise. No. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Oh, boy, what is it? What is the purpose of these promises? I'm glad you have. Let's look now. Given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these, you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, the promises were to help us to gain a life of godliness. What does it look like? Verse 5. But also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, add to this, it's not picking one or the other. It needs to have them all. Men, that was our exhortation tonight. That we be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. May God enable us to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us as men and each and every one of us to model these great, glorious truths and virtues. May we always, wherever we hear your teaching in this church, may it always be sound, be healthy, fruitful, bearing fruit of the things that we see here, that we would see growth in grace, growth in holiness, that we would manifest the likeness of Christ. May the church be robust in its men. And as we look at the ladies, the elderly, the older lady, as well as the young women, the young men, and others. Oh, Lord, help us to honor and glorify you, to live a life for which you have called us to, for your glory, as our way of gratitude and thankfulness for your amazing love and work of redemption on our behalf. We ask and thank these things in Jesus' name. Amen.